Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to the Cubby House on the 20th of February. I'm Cookie.
And I'm Kevin.
And we've got in the studio as our wonderful guest host, the wonderful Scott today. How are you, sir?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. And thank you also to our previous show, Kiss My Arts. And yes, I might be going and seeing A Moment with Marilyn, that movie that they reviewed quickly. Yes, wonderful. Tonight, we are computer-based tonight, I think. Games, that sort of framework.
Games, anime, anything fun.
In Kink Corner, which we might start off this particular show, we're looking at White Velvet, which is quite interesting come internet and all that it brings to us.
I'm looking forward to that one. I'll take a look at the positive effects of gaming.
In Geek On, I'll be looking at some of the games that have gotten as far as the big screen cinemas.
We'll then be joined by VicBear's president, Rob Cam, who'll have a chat with us about upcoming Den Night.
I'll be looking at some health tips in dealing with something called Rage Quit.
And then I'll be dealing with a newspaper article that was written in Russia rather recently about how anime causes suicides.
What?
Yeah. More on that towards the end of the show.
Shall we?
Indeed. We do actually have a discussion topic for tonight. We would like to know, what is the first computer or console game that you have ever played? Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
You are with us until 11 o'clock and we've got somebody locked in the studio just for that exact reason. Hello, Scott.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I'm well.
Now, we've been asking people on SMS and Facebook, 0427JOY949 if you'd like the SMS, what is the first computer game or console that you've ever played? What's yours?
Well, probably very similar to some other people, Pong.
Pong.
I had this, my parents bought this tiny little grey thing. I don't even think it had a name, and it probably only played Pong.
Yes, it was one. You had like a twist
little
top.
Little swivel things. Yeah. Yes,
this is all too old for you, isn't it, Kevin?
Way too old for me, says the person who's the same age as I am.
Well, no. Oh, now you had your birthday last Saturday. Yes, that's all right. Oh, it sounds like my parents had it, so that's how I know. But we are going to ask you a fair few questions, Scott, which might indulge a little bit more about why you played that. Let us first start off with, what is your age, sir?
I turned 41 last Wednesday.
Happy birthday for last Happy Wednesday. Birthday.
Thank you.
Name one thing you miss about being a kid.
I think probably complete innocence and not worrying about what everybody else thought.
Some people still have that now.
Mm. Yes. Do you have any hidden talents?
I don't know that I have any hidden ones. They're all pretty much out there.
Oh, yes, they are.
Let's see. I sing in a choir. I suppose that's
low res. By
low res. Yes.
Wonderful.
Little plug.
Hello, guys.
Low res, Melbourne.
Yeah. Watch them. You know, invade our next karaoke again. All right. What body part do you get caught staring at?
Arms. I love nice arms. Good.
What's the last thing you bought?
Besides my dinner, probably my last. My last special purchase was, as you may know, Colorado are closing down and going out of business, and they've only got stuff online, and I got several pairs of pants for $10 each, down from $80 each, so that was pretty damn good.
Not to be cut into chaps then.
No.
No, he has those already. What is your current obsession?
Well, I've just finished Skyrim on the gaming theme. Mm-hmm. And my current, I'm playing Dragon Age 2, which I'm really enjoying.
Is that the one that you can make, like, male-to-male relationships?
Yes.
Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. Love it.
You can in Skyrim as well. That's good.
All right, I'm going out and getting it now. So do you have any phobias?
I'm afraid of heights, but I like to challenge that and force myself all the time.
How do you deal with planes?
Oh, planes are no problem at all.
I find that funny. People can deal with planes, hot air balloons,
yeah,
and yet going up a ladder is a problem.
Yeah, or standing at the edge of a building, even if there's a window there. It could be, it's weird.
Yes, very much so.
All right, sexually, what melts your butter?
So hard. I think smart. Smart is good.
Smart?
Yeah. Intelligence really...
How very odd, but okay.
Turns me on.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a body part.
Yes, yeah. So you wake up in a prison cell. What's most likely the crime you've committed?
Slapping Kevin.
I'll join you unfortunately, in prison for that one.
Unfortunately, that's not a crime.
It should. Well, no. It shouldn't be. No. Yeah. No. No idea. I'm very unlikely to commit crime that would land me in jail.
Probably being too attractive, I dare say.
Oh, please.
Or the fashion, please.
Either or.
Oh, that's a death glare I'm appreciating. All right. You're about to be sent to a desert island and can carry up to 5 of your own possessions.
Well, the first thing that came to mind was all my electronic stuff, my MacBook and my iPhone and my iPad and all that sort of stuff. But that's going to be no good very, very quickly. So I really don't know. My camera for when I'm rescued
presumptuous.
Yeah. I'm just seeing a stop animation film of, as his beard grows.
Probably bedding. It's most useful.
Bedding.
Yeah, because you can do lots of things with it.
You don't want to take anything practical like a knife or a rope?
Well,
So have you answered any of these questions with a lie?
Yes.
You're not going to tell us which ones, are you?
No. Mm. You'll have to guess.
All right. Fair enough. I think we've asked you this question when because you're a repeat offender. You've been on one of our episodes before.
I have.
But describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
It was in Perth, and I was going to a group run by the WAIDS Council called Esteem Express, which was a self-esteem for young gay men.
Mm-hmm.
And after each week, they would go out to the Northbridge Hotel. And, so I went along after building up the courage and was terrified, but only briefly. And, it was very, very nice.
Good.
Now, did that quickly lead you on to, the bear community, or was that much, much later?
Oh, no, much later. Yeah, not till I moved to Melbourne.
Ah, wonderful.
Well, not surprising. Melbourne, as I've said so many times before and will no doubt say again, is the best bear community in the world.
Absolutely.
Yes. Wonderful. Won't argue with that. You're in the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. Coming up next is the Kink Corner right after this. Be careful what you're wearing. You never know what you're asking for here on the Kink Corner. And tonight, we're only picking one colour, but it's a very important colour because it has two definitions depending on which side you wear it on. It is white velvet, according to Gay City USA. It stands for either if it's on the left as a voyeur or if it's on the right as an exhibitionist.
So when you're talking about hanky coats, you're actually just talking about a square of white velvet cloth?
Yeah, basically, is if you'd wear a hanky but in hanging out of one of the back pockets to indicate what... from its colour, what you're looking for. This is way back ideals and way back before internet and all the social media we have now.
Hmm. So what if I wear this in the left pocket, what am I flagging?
You are flagging voyeur, which means you'd like to be watching other people. Now, voyeurism traditionally is known for the spying on an unknown or unknowing victim engaging in intimate actions of undress, sexual activity, or otherwise private nature. However, recently, reality TV has given us a non-pornographic version of this term, where the interaction between the participants are aware of their audience, but the outside influence factor is limited, thus allowing more intimate and unscripted situations.
You're talking about Big Brother?
Not just Big Brother, but Survivor, you know, Biggest Loser, all those sorts of reality TV, basically giving us a situation set up and then letting what happens happens.
So if I like reality TV, I should be flagging voyeurism?
Partially.
Or just lack of taste.
You decide. Now, this is a French term, voyeur, of course, wonderful English just steals it from every other language, and it is translated to one who looks.
Wow, simple, how simple. Accurate.
I know. Now, the Australian Crimes Act of 1910 defines voyeurism as a crime, and voyeurism is considered a mental condition as a form of paraphilia.
Ouch.
Yeah, go figure. So, I'm, strangely enough, picking crime and a mental condition with this whole flag.
Then that's definitely the thing that I will be arrested for.
Now, I deliberately picked this colour as well because with the advent of internet, looking at pornography via social mediums is a form of voyeurism and exhibitionism. Now, exhibitionism, which is if you wear this white velvet on your right, is a desire or compulsion to expose parts of one's body in a public or semi-public situation. Again, the Crimes Act of 1900, Section 393, states it as indecent exposure as an offence, and it is a person who offends against decency by the exposure of his or her person in a public place or in any place within view of a person who is in a public place. Which means you can be nude inside your own home and be considered a crime if you're seen from the street, for instance.
Well, it's a good thing you close your curtains, isn't it, Cookie?
Yes. I'm building my mansion. You should know that. Now, the most common types of definitional exhibition are flashing, which is lifting the skirt or dropping your dacks to show your junk. Streaking, running nude through a public area, notoriously at a sports game. Now, can you pronounce this one? Because I'm going to get tongue-tied otherwise.
Candalism.
Thank you. Which is the exposing your partner in a sexual manner. And the one, and deliberately one I bring up, particularly with Scott in the room, is mooning.
Oh, yeah, no secrets.
Yes, mooning.
No secrets.
Which is dropping your butt out of your pants. Now, why do I say that, Scott?
I have no idea. I don't see how that relates to me in any way whatsoever.
No, I'm sure Kevin doesn't have photographic evidence of this somewhere.
I do, but we'll leave that for another show. And I think that's it for Kink Corner tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So we'll move on to our next segment, which is positive effects of gaming. Now, while controversies over video games often center on topics such as graphic violence, sex and sexism, violent and gory scenes, partial or full nudity, portrayal of criminal behavior, racism, gosh, this list goes on. We're nearly done there. And other provocative and objectionable material.
Basically anything you can create that can offend.
Yeah, they tend to really push the boundaries.
Yep.
Anyway, the problem is a lot of these issues might actually be blown out of proportion, and they're actually limiting the positive effects that gaming can actually have. Journalist and author David Sheff believes that many skills can be learned from the gaming experience. It builds practical and intellectual skills. As he says, by playing video games, children gain problem-solving abilities, perseverance, pattern recognition, hypothesis testing, estimating skills, inductive skills, resource management, logistics mapping, memory, quick thinking, and reasonable judgments.
Really, you must need to play a lot more games to get that last one, Kevin.
Oh, that was nice, Cookie. You're about 10 steps behind me, though. It also said that video games developed the individual's intelligence, and in social gaming, developed the social capabilities of the individual. Another benefit, of course, is the release of stress. There is a study being conducted by a doctor in Massachusetts General Hospital Center for Mental Health and Media and Harvard. Wow, okay. To prove that violent games help students deal with stress and aggression. She found that over 49% of the boys and 25% of the girls actually use violent games such as Grand Theft Auto 4 as an outlet for their anger. It's come to the conclusion that violent games affect studies positively and not negatively because the violent games rate is going down, while the popularity of M-rated video games has increased. They suggest that instead of stopping children from playing M-rated games completely, parents should simply monitor how much time their children are actually playing on the games. There's this outlandish concept that parents should actually take responsibility for their children.
No.
How bizarre.
They spend enough time with them.
Yeah, well, apparently not. Anyway, it's also been pointed out that games or online games where you can basically play different types of character also allow you to explore various aspects of your own identity in a virtual world.
What?
Have you often played, you know, either a female character or an aggressive warrior or a mage or, you know, different characters?
If you look at the Warcraft collection I've got, yes. Yes,
you do.
Yes, I've got every possible character, I think.
Scott, now you don't play online games, but you play console games on the PC, correct?
Yeah, but console and PC is not...
On the PC.
I play games on PC, yep.
And do you play games where you have to play different types of characters?
Absolutely. Role-playing's a massive part of what I play.
What kind of games do you play?
Well, I mentioned before Skyrim and Dragon Age 2, the first one, Dragon Age. Mass Effect, futuristic games like Fallout 3.
Where you can generally play a different type of character, like a mage or a warrior. Or
absolutely, people that aren't yourself. You want to be something different. There's no point in playing...
And you obviously don't play the same one every single time. You play different characters to
exactly.
try different things, keep yourself amused. Excellent. Many authors, such as Terry Flew, Sal Humphries and Martin Baker, disagree with the notion that suggests that media can cause violence. They propose media cannot cause violence because humans have the ability to recognize what is wrong and what is right. They suggest people are not going to mistake fiction for reality. And again, they also emphasize that, you know, if they really are worried about children being influenced by these kind of games, the parents really need to take an active role in raising their children.
Yes. I tend to look at games as creative outlets, if not through the actual creation of something, then the act of doing something creative that you can't do otherwise in human life, in the act of reality. So, yes. And speaking of violence and computer games, you've got a section coming up later on that some would argue that that perhaps is not the case.
Well, it's not really about games. It's about the anime subculture. And there's a... You'll find out about it later, but there's a group in Russia that's claiming that it's caused a couple of suicides within the teens.
Hmm. You are on the KBS on Joy 94.9. Good games that have been played as people's first experience in the gaming realm. We have been asking, what is your first game you ever played? SMS 0427 Joy 949, or you can add to the discussion on Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. Now, I'd also like to thank Andrew from Southbank, who's SMS'd in and added to that little tick on the list of games, Pong was his first one as well.
So many people have said Pong was their first one.
Yes, yes. It just shows the age and calibre, I suppose, of some of our listeners. Having come from a careful.
That's the kind of comment I would make, Cookie. I'm clearly rubbing off on you.
Clearly, clearly. Well, having said that, I'm the kind of person that played Boulder Dash on the Amiga 5000, I think. It wasn't the Commodore Amiga. It was another version of Amiga. That was my first game.
My first one was on an XT, and it was Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Classic, classic. I'd love to go back and play that original version.
It's really boring.
I know it's boring, but there was a method to it, all right?
Well, they have remade it. Apparently, it's a pretty good one now.
Yes, yes. And first of all, going out down our list of Facebook comments, thank you very much for all those who have jumped in and had a word. Nick, who said, River Raid on the Atari. I've never heard of that one. I might just go look that one up after the show.
Well, Andrew also says, I vaguely remember Pac-Man on an Atari in the 1980s.
And B also played the Atari on Atari 2800, and who played Space Invaders. Thank you very much. Got no other ones that you find interesting to pull out, Kevin?
One of our very avid listeners, Matt, actually says he played Wonder Boy on Commodore 64.
Wonder Boy.
He was very addicted to that.
I loved Wonder Boy.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you there.
I had Commodore 64 as well.
Actually, the one I was addicted to on Commodore 64, there were two. It was GoldenEye and Banjo-Kazooie. I think that was it. Or Banjo-Tooie or something.
Banjo-Kazooie, you're right.
Banjo-Kazooie, yeah, the one where you got to run around and get all the gold puzzle
pieces. Unlike so many other games.
Shut up. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, sounds like you're right into the element of this next segment.
Exploring the world, keeping you jacked in and turned on. That's right, get your geek on.
Tonight's Geek On segment, we are looking at the games that have become movies. Now, while video gaming has really been a world of its own over the past two decades or so, there have been very little tributes made in making movies out of them. Now, whether the fan base is already dedicated so much in mini movies, or the game developers quicker...
Can you read your own script, Cookie?
No. The game developers develop more of the game before a movie can actually be filmed in timelines. Now, of the few made, even fewer do the game story due diligence. Now, so the few that have been made, the more memorable ones I've seen and recall, Super Mario Brothers. Now, I'd like to point out, this was the first game-based movie ever made. It was first made in Japan in 1986, but later an international version was made in 93.
Now, it's actually really funny because the one in 93, even the actors and the producer all say that it was the worst thing that they have ever done.
I don't blame them.
They all try and remove it from their resumes and just don't bring it up and just hate discussing it or anything like that. Apparently, it was just so shocking. Even the fans, like, there is actually a timeline on Mario, like, this isn't that much I know about games. There is a timeline on Mario, and in the timeline, there's a little note that says, movie, yes, it happened, let's never discuss it.
Amen to that. Yes. Now, Pokemon, in all its versions, unfortunately, has only been made in animation form.
What colour are we up to now in Pokemon? Does anyone know?
I do, and I'm not divulging.
What colour are you up to? Come on.
Blue and white. Oh, sorry, black and white.
Black and white?
Black and white.
So we've gone off the colours now, we're going on to non-colours.
Yeah, I'm waiting for them to make grey and then another colour version. Who knows? Mm-hmm. There's too many of them to count now. Now, the other ones I remember are Tomb Raider, Final Fantasy, Resident Evil, Doom, although it wasn't apparently a very good one, Street Fighter, which is, again, laughable, and Prince of Persia, that I know of. I would also like to now point out the Pirates of the Caribbean. As I actually found out on Sunday morning, one of the writers for the Pirates of the Caribbean was a co-producer of the Monkey Island series. So starting from Curse of Monkey Island and all that sort of stuff, they actually did have a lot of cross-correlation. So if you would like to know a little bit more about that, go play the game. Now, again, some of the publishers of these games have actually commissioned or have published games that are still in production. Halo has become one of the names that have come out. Assassin's Creed, Sonic, The Night of the Werewolf. Deep Dive, which is based on the game Kingdom Hearts.
Really?
Really.
I loved Kingdom Hearts. Mm-hmm. I'd try and watch that.
Run the Gauntlet, which is based on the game Driver. This is one which I kind of don't know how they're going to do this, but Zombrex Dead Rising Sun, which is based on Dead Rising 3. And, of course, my favourite game, World of Warcraft.
They're making a movie out of it?
They are making
a movie. Oh, for crying out loud.
It'll be like the Dungeons & Dragons movie. It'll suck.
No, oh, no. That's right. We never even mentioned that. Oh, no. The worst one is that pain one. Dread Pain or whatever it was, the vampire hunting one.
Blood Pain.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking.
That was awful.
There's also been a lot of films, a lot of games that have been made from films. So, you know, the Raiders of the Lost Ark and lots of other computer games that were originally films.
Isn't it really annoying when you watch a movie and you just know it's going to be turned into a game because they've got all the gauntlet running things?
Yeah.
Now, we'd still like your answers to the question, what's the first computer game or console game that you've ever played?
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
And I do believe we have hidden on the current phone line somebody by the name of Rob Cam, who I believe is president of Vic Bears currently.
Yes, hey Cookie, how are you, sir?
Wonderful, thank you.
Hello, Mr. Cam.
Hey Kev, hey Scott, how you doing, boys?
Hi.
Excellent. Yes, now, thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
As if we could keep you off. Right, now, this Saturday is a very special night for the Bears, isn't it?
It is. Well, besides being our den night, which we do on the fourth Saturday of every month, and it's very much in the theme of what you guys have been focusing on tonight, on gaming and gamers, called Paw Play. And it's a great night. We it was kicked off last year in February as well. It was a huge hit for all the gamers amongst us. And not just the younger guys, but any of us who have played games. And there's going to be a fantastic variety, you know. So it's a lot of fun. We're going to get the PlayStation out, the Wii, and I think by popular demand, the Atari 2600.
yeah, sure. As soon as we can source one, Rob. Thanks for that.
Sorry, what was that?
Now we've got a source one. Thanks for that.
Yes, and my favourite, of course, Pong will be making an appearance. I shouldn't promise stuff like that. But no, we're going to take over the big screens. We've got some big comfy sofas being brought in.
What?
I haven't shared that with you guys yet, but I'm speaking to Brett today. So we've got some sofas. It's going to be really cool. So even if you're not into gaming, you're going to come along and have some fun. And despite what that research said earlier about being provocative and damaging, I promise it will not be. It'll be very stress relieving and a real hoot. So it's, that's Paul Play this Saturday night. So it's going to be, a real lot of fun. A different slant to our normal den night. As we take over the big screens and have a bit of a hoot.
I believe we've actually got some rather famous people coming in as well.
Yes, well, we've been doing the Plug a Bear segment for a while now and trying to, feature key people in the community. And we're delighted that a couple of new bears in our community, known by Roger and Bryce, who are sort of in the category of scruppets, you may have seen their infamous YouTube video, Shit Hairy Subgroup saying. If you haven't, go and look for it. It's absolutely a riot. But they marched with us in Pride, Pride March earlier this month, and they wanted to come along. And I said, absolutely, come along. We're going to have a chat with them on stage and a little surprise with them as well. They've got a new video out, which they're also actually going to premiere this Saturday night.
Oh, I'm excited.
So we're pretty chuffed about that. And keeping in the same vein of things, John Richards, one of the co-creators of Outland, that huge smash now that's on ABC, the gay sci-fi comedy, is going to be with us as well. So he's going to, at the midpoint now of the season, give us a bit of a snapshot of what's coming and what's beyond Outland. So we'll hear a bit more about John as well.
Excellent. I believe there's also a big check being handed over.
Yes, this is. We're pretty excited about this. Certainly, as a committee and a club, we've been over our summer Bear Fest period, which happened to coincide with midsummer.
You shouldn't have, really.
That we decided to team up with another much deserved charity, being the Country Awareness Network based in Bendigo, and we have raised some great funds over the events of Bear Fest. We're working out the final numbers, which we will this week, but we have a huge check, and it's going to take three of the directors from Country Awareness
to carry this check.
I know, it's huge. One of those big
bear size.
They're coming down from Bendigo, and we'll be handing that over and be delighted to give those them our first big charity check for 2012. So it's all happening this big Paul Play Den night at the Lead, and it's free for everyone.
Wonderful. So if anybody. If anybody wants to know more information, what website should they go check out, sir?
They should go to our website, vicbears.org.au, or hit us up on Facebook. You'll see all the details there. It's going to be a real hoot.
Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us tonight.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Bring back Pong.
Have a good night.
We are on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9, and that is one of the people who I like to fade out just a little bit.
We love you, Rob. I'm sorry, I'll beat him later.
Now, we do have a health tip coming up to right now. It is something for the addicts and the gamers out there who might have suffered something called rage quitting. You know what that is? Do you know what that means? It is when overwhelming rage causes the online gaming world, which drives you into such a madness, you quit from doing whatever the hell it is you're doing.
So it's not when you throw the, consoles that you've got in your hand at the screen or at, someone sitting next to you who deserves it.
It's the build-up towards that.
Oh, okay.
Yes, it's the whole thing. Now, such symptoms can include body temperature increasing or decreasing, chest pain or discomfort, heart beating problems, waking up ill in the middle of the night and jolting awake, lack of
what? Going, I have to finish this level.
Yes. Lack of appetite or taste, frequently being in a bad mood, sometimes depression, constant fear of what people think about you, that you will make a fool of yourself. And this actually happens in MMOs and online gaming. Trust me. And you have to force yourself to breathe. And finally, feeling overwhelmed or that it is too much to handle. This is all symptoms of rage quitting.
This sounds pretty extreme.
This is why I don't play online games.
The reason these sound extreme is because they're also symptoms of anxiety. Now, ways to deal with anxiety and or rage quitting. two ones I love is simply experience your rage anxiety for 45 minutes, apparently. That is usually all it takes for you to become used to it and for the feeling to dissipate. The worst thing you can try and do is ignore it, because anxiety and rage quitting tends to fight back if you push it down.
So no bottling it up.
No. No, either let it out. Let it right out.
Is that an excuse for me to throw things at you now?
No. No, because you'll have to pay for the damage. The other one, which I do like, is the follow the relax, detach, and focus routine. And it goes like this. Relax your body from the toes up. Detach yourself from your thoughts. Center yourself in the moment. So things like feeling your head upon the pillow or feeling your feet on the ground, depending on where you are. And then focus on who you want to be and how you want to feel. So if you're playing a game and you are being a raging little craphead, do you really want to be that person? Or do you want to be this nice, calm player who's enjoying the game?
I like how you're focusing on Kevin when you say all that.
Kevin, I understand Kevin in some of his more precious moments with the PlayStation, yes.
Precious. Precious. Usually when I'm playing Infamous 2 and it's just, you know, not working and...
Or Assassin's Creed, which I believe...
I never play Assassin's Creed. I tried it for the first little bit and then just...
I loved up. Assassin's Creed. Yeah. Brilliant. Loved it. Loved
See,
it.
I got told that it was exactly the same as Prince of Persia. So I went into it expecting a Prince of Persia game and it was not. And I'm like, this is not what I like.
Prince of Persia, one of the versions was really bad anime, wasn't
it? I think it was the fourth game that was released. Awful. Absolutely awful. Which is a very, very... very bad segue into our last topic, Cookie.
From around the den to around the globe, this is the Bear News.
All right, we'll go through this very, very quickly. This week, a post on the blog of a radio station, The Voice of Russia, has been causing waves in the anime culture. The reason? A leading specialist in children and teenage psychology, Olga, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Mikovskaya? Has, interestingly enough, blamed the subculture for the cause of 16 suicides in the past 10 days. She says, Of course anime by itself cannot be the cause of teen suicides, but it's a visual art that attracts many teenager and that intensifies all their feelings. The death and heroics of the deaths that is a typical of the Japanese culture, a lot more than other cultures, serves as a measure of friendship or loyalty. To jump down from a high rise together holding each other's hands is especially typical of girls' behaviour in these. Heroic adventures of girls' stories are inseparable friendship between girls. And these are all anime stories. She goes on to say a whole lot about the claptrap that basically says that blah, 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 anime bad is responsible for, you know, the death of these kids. And it's absolute rubbish. Now, the responses that have been coming through have been varied. Some of them have been fairly humorous. One of the comments I've read was, if anime is really causing suicidal thoughts for teenagers, wouldn't you think that anime conventions would be just the most depressing place on earth to be? Thousands of teenagers standing around moping about how anime has destroyed their innocence and their youth.
Now, there's also been as far as the scathing versions, which is, in their minds, it is really just a transition to some other world. Isn't that what people who believe in heaven think? And not just Russian teenagers who are committing suicide?
Yeah, some of it, yeah. She's been nailed pretty badly. Now, I haven't by any means watched all anime out there, but for all the shows that I've seen, I don't remember seeing a single thing about anything that glorifies two schoolgirls jumping off a building hand in hand, let alone trying to define all of anime by that image. Scott, have you seen anything like that?
Nothing. I don't remember seeing any anime where there's any suicidal themes or that sort of thing involved at all.
Clearly, we're watching the wrong anime.
I just think of people throwing fireballs out of their hands.
Well, yes, it's all fantasy and, you know, non-reality and really clearly not reality. I mean, personally, I would be more interested in seeing actual professionals looking into the influences for this age group in this country and perhaps putting together some resources to help them, you know, have better options to choose instead of suicide. And of course, this is instead of blaming a subculture that she clearly has no understanding of what anime is. Now, there's actually a very good example, which the Japanese government has done. They've actually published what's called the White Book, which is a book about fighting suicide that lists about 46 measures on how to fight suicide. And currently, the Japanese specialists are actually talking to their Russian colleagues to try and actually stop this epidemic.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for that insight into the anime culture and some of the...
Anime culture, not bad. Don't listen to this woman.
Yes. Thank you for the bear news for this week, Kevin. We have been asking you, what is the first computer or console game that you have ever played? Thank you very much for all the people who have responded in. We've had...
A whole heap. Qubit on Atari 2600. Space Invaders, Indy 500. Cosmic Cruncher on... what's a VIC-20?
It was the pre-Commodore 64.
Way thing. Before my time.
It was terrible.
Ultima, The False Prophet.
Pilot Wings, Nintendo 64. We've had a whole heap of them.
Heaps. Pilot Wings as well.
Yes. Thank you very much for all the people who have SMS'd, emailed and Facebooked in. And thank you very much to Scott, who's come in as our guest host for tonight.
Thank you very much.
You're not getting away that easily. We are the Cubby House, the other sex show on Joy. And I say that with the question of, what is your one most important piece of sex advice, Mr. Memory?
I think probably, unless you're actively role-playing, be yourself.
Oh, that's a good one.
I like it.
I'll have to remember that one.
I have to just tell you that sitting in this chair, I feel myself getting more and more ginger by the second. I don't know what that is.
I'm not touching that one.
No.
As I won't touch you if you're more ginger.
Now, I thought I'd still throw that in, although it's kind of like a comic gamey thing. For those who don't know the definitions, there's things of called hentai, yaoi, and yif.
We're avoiding those right now.
Go look them up. That's why I brought that question in.
Oh, Cookie.
Oh, come on.
Don't blame me. Blame Cookie. Once you've actually read it, please feel free to leave a comment for Cookie on our Facebook page, which is...
Facebook.com/thecubbyhouse.
Or if you really want to show your disgust, feel free to find it on our blog, which was
thecubbyhouse.net.au.
And if you ultimately really have to have a go at him, you can always do it during the week on our email.
contact@thecubbyhouse.net.au, which does come through to my email directly.
Finally.
Yes, finally. There you go. Exactly.
I think we've wrapped a bow on this one.
We really have. We're early and it's all your fault.
It is not. I'm going to probably go home and play my games now. What am I going to play? I'm going to play Infamous 2.
And that's all?
Maybe. What are you going to go home and play World of Warcraft?
Not tonight, but I shall.
Ah, now, what's the deal with you and your partner playing World of Warcraft together?
I dragged him into it.
You're an enabler.
He said he wanted to play it.
You led him down the garden path into, you know...
I gave the... Yeah, disclaimer, I am not... You want to play, fine, I'll help you play.
And is that now the only way in which you communicate?
Hell no.
No.
trust me, if that was the only way we communicate, I wouldn't see his face.
Well, yes.
I just see the back of his head all the time.
Which is not always a bad thing.
Well, depends on where you are, I guess.
Or what you're doing.
Yes. I will leave this one right now. Thank you very much for listening to The Cubby House. We are here Mondays from 10 to 11 p.m. every night. Stay tuned for Tracy and Fluoro, and have a wonderful week. Catch you next week.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.